Welcome once again to Beef News and Notes, information for both the producers and the consumers of our great product, beef. As promised, we have with us Leon Plates of Wabassal. Leon, along with his son Nick, have a diversified cattle operation, and besides that, they are into the custom harvesting business. Welcome, Leon.
Hi.
Leon, first off, how long have you been in the custom harvesting business?
Oh, we've been doing it about 15 years total. It's grown, but it's been 15 years.
How big an area do you cover?
Oh, we get up to Granite Falls, west of Marshall, east of Morgan, Sacred Heart, Bolivia. So we cover a pretty wide area.
Okay. And you cut corn silage, of course, and do you also do like earlage and haylage?
We do a lot of corn silage, a lot of earlage, and some haylage. Not a lot of dairy producers in our area, and they're the primary consumers of haylage, although I personally use haylage in my own cattle operation.
Okay. Well, I know we've all seen lots of changes over the years, and especially when you think about the silage chopping business. I mean, years back, filling silos was the commonplace, and then it seemed like people started putting up piles, and now it seems like a lot of them have bunkers. What do you see the most of today?
Oh, it's predominantly bunkers or piles. Well, as operations have gotten larger, it's just not economical to store them in silos anymore because silos simply don't have the capacity you need.
And
so we do a few silos and a few bags, but primarily bunkers.
And the silage inoculants really have become a big part of storing the silage, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah, it really has. And it really gives you a good return on your money because it keeps the feed value out there.
Now, you can put the inoculant on as you chop, correct?
Yes, we do.
And when consumers hear that we're using the inoculants to store the silage, can you kind of explain the different types and how they actually work?
Basically, all an inoculant is, it's a bacteria. And silage will ferment on itself. You know, you make a load of silage, and in a day it'll start heating. And the heating is the bacteria growing in the silage. By adding an inoculant, we're basically putting a favorable bacteria to get the kind of fermentation that's advantageous to storage and nutrition for the cattle. There's a couple of different basic types depending on what you want it to do, but they all work the same way.
And what are the two types?
Basically, there's a lactobacillus and a buchneri. The lactobacillus basically stores your feed and it gives you a good quality of feed. The buchneri extends shelf life of the product. It keeps the face of the pile good longer. It helps the feed store longer in the bunk. It's more expensive, so it depends on what the producer wants as to what we do. And we have a few producers that choose not to use any, and that's their choice.
Okay, well, Leon, let's just talk about performance. How much silage can you put up, say, in an hour or in a day?
Sunday the guys were going, they were pretty proud of themselves. The newer machine we've got, they were doing 300 ton an hour. The older machine will do about half that. And it depends on the field and the quality of corn and all those sorts of things. But you can make a pretty large pile in a day. I've got good people that work with me, and they work well together.
So do you provide, like, the trucks and the tractor for pushing the silage up and packing the bunker silo?
We'll do as much as a producer wants or as little. There's some places we just chop it. Other places we chop it and haul it, and other places we do everything. Whatever the consumer wants is what we'll do.
As far as covering these piles today, what do you put on for value in covering a pile?
Oh, it's almost invaluable. To not cover a pile is just, that's just wrong. Some people that don't do it will say, well, my cattle ate the feed, and they will eat it. You just don't get any feed value out of it. So for the small amount of money it costs to cover a pile, I mean, the return on that investment is just tremendous. I mean, it's silly not to cover it.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Let's just talk a little bit about what you're seeing out in the fields. You mentioned some stock rot in non-GMO or traditional corn. Has that problem worsened, or what are you seeing?
You know, It depends. Most of the traded corn looks really good, and that's really maturing normally. It's drying from the bottom up, and it's staying green long. Some of the conventional fields, producers better watch those closely. There are some stock rot issues in some of those fields. There's some insect damage, so it's not every field, but the producers need to really watch the conventional fields because there can be some issues out of there. The traits look to me like they've really paid this year, so I just advise producers to keep watching their fields.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Leon, for coming on the program, and best luck to you and Nick this fall, and just stay safe.
Sure. Appreciate your time.
Until next week, thanks for listening, and we'll talk again.